Mom and Dad, can you borrow me some money for a new bike? And they said, no, you've got a paper route, so you need to save your money from the paper route. When you get enough money, then you can go buy your own bike. And of course, I thought that was cruel and unusual punishment when I was a kid. But when I think about it now, gosh, that lesson, 11, 12-year-old, it's carried me through my whole life.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money matters become conversation starters. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Tom Kosnick. I know Tom through my day job as a marketing manager. We've known each other for a few years, and we always have little money talks here and there. We talk about what we're doing with our money and so on. So as I started to reach out to more everyday people and not financial experts, Tom was one that came to my mind as someone that I should have on my podcast. Today's episode is a great conversation with someone who's started their own business and runs their own business. Tom has a lot of knowledge and experience with managing his money and talking to people about money in all sorts of different business situations. So make sure you're ready to take away some great tips from today's episode, because there's a lot that Tom has to share in this interview. And we discuss how money was exemplified for him as a kid and not just talked about, and how that can be useful for children. How can you feel confident in your life with your money? And how do you manage your money when also trying to start and run a business? Tom also shared not one, but two great tips that he wishes he would have known sooner. And number two is going to be really hopeful for a lot of people out there. So make sure you stick around to the end of the interview. The money talking points for today's episode are: who can you talk to that handles money professionally about what they do with their money? And two, how is money management shown to you as a kid? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm joined today by Tom Kosnick, and I'm really excited for this interview because Tom and I have known each other for a few years at this point, and we've always had little discussions here and there about money, but we're going to sit down and throw down the gauntlet today on financial discussions. So, Tom, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Yeah. First off, Skylar, thank you so much for inviting me to be on the podcast. Tom Kosnick, I'm out of Chicago. I am the founder of an organizational development consulting company called Visus Group. And Visus is a Latin word that means vision. So we help entrepreneurs reach their dreams by seeing the world differently. And yes, you and I have talked on and off about investing and money. And so happy to be here and share some thoughts.
Yeah, this will be fun. This is definitely one of my get to hear from the more everyday people, not the financial professionals per se, but people who have financial experience, because that's all of us. So awesome. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. How was money discussed or handled in your home or around you as a kid when you were growing up?
Yeah, I would say it wasn't discussed much, but it was more modeled. And what I mean by that is that my folks, they budgeted. My dad invested in stocks, and by the way, it just wasn't my dad. Like, all my uncles invested in stock, and talked about their investments. And my mom and dad had a budget. I was one of 10, and so you have a group like that. You have to budget. So the other thing, a quick story. I was 11 years old when I got my first job. I was a paper boy, got a paper route on Cunningham Street. And I had to walk my paper route. It was actually 1 mile to the paper station. And then from the paper station, it was a half a mile to the street, the Cunningham Street that my route was on. And then I would walk my route. Oh, if the weather was a little questionable, I'd say to my mom, "Oh, like, can you drive me to the paper station?" And they were like, no, you've got to, that's your job. You got to walk the, and, well, hey, mom and dad, can you borrow me some money for a new bike? And, they said, no, you've got a paper out, so you need to save your money from the paper route. When you get enough money, then you can go buy your own bike. And of course, I thought that was cruel and unusual punishment when I was a kid. But when I think about it now, gosh, that lesson, 11, 12-year-old, it's carried me through my whole life. When it comes to houses and cars.
Yeah, you got to save up for what you want.
Vacations, all that stuff. We want to go to Europe for a month. Well, let's go take out $20,000 loan to go do that. So that's how money, like I say, we didn't sit around a kitchen table and talk about money, but it was really more modeled than anything else. And then of course, like the story I just told about examples of how you deal with money.
Do you think that talking about it is better than modeling it? Or do you think that modeling it is what ultimately helped you? Do you think it would have stuck if you just sat there and talked about it?
This is so interesting. In my previous life, I was a pastoral associate. And my first career, I worked for the church. For several years, ran youth programs for the church. And I remember somebody, some wise soul, said to me, your kids will not remember what you prayed for. What they will remember is that you took time to pray. And so when you think about, yes, at some point, when kids can understand certain things about money, it makes sense to talk to them about it. But that's like 16-year-old, 18-year-old, and even that 16, 18-year-old, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, even that, you talk about money and money investment at different levels, at different stages. Important to talk about it and important to my kids. When I was raising my kids, I mean, we talked, I started very simple. They had babysitting jobs and things like that. Okay, guys, you got $100 here. Like 20% of this is you could spend, that you can put it in your wallet and spend. And, 40% of this you're going to put into some kind of a long-term investment. Another 20%, you're going to put it in a savings account so that you can pull it out quick if you need it. And they were, Skylar, they were like the babysitting jobs and kayaking jobs and like the three big camps. But just even as little ones growing up, I mean, we talked to them. My wife and I talked to our kids about that.
Awesome. And I like the approach of model it for kids instead of just talking to them about it, because it probably won't stick. Make sure you're showing them specific examples. Like, that's where cash can still be useful, is when you're teaching kids how to handle like physical paper instead of just numbers on a screen.
It's so funny. Opposites attract, so my wife is like 180 degrees opposite of me. Like she's I have to tie her down to a chair to get her to budget with me. She says that, and of course my we have two kids and my oldest special needs. So that's a whole another ball. But the other two, oh my gosh, they're just so frugal. Of course, my wife says, thank God they got your money management gene.
There you go. Well, how'd you find that gene? How did you learn about money? Like as you're growing up, sure, yes, you were modeled some save for what you want and then buy it with the cash you have. How do you continue to learn and grow?
Yeah, sure. A couple of things. One, I got into business, or I started my organizational development consulting firm. And then of course you're talking with people that own businesses. And so if you own a business, you have to understand finances. And then my consulting practice moved into looking at financial statements and balance sheets. And just like anything, I start reaching out to people. I take classes how does a balance sheet work? And why is a balance sheet so important? And, what is retained earnings? And, what are the different loans? And so obviously if you run a business, you need to know that. So it's, as Skylar, as I'm a ferocious reader. I'm always either suggesting or giving you guys things to read, as we're talking. But, hey, look, I'm eating lunch. you know, I'll pull up a talk from Warren Buffett, or I'll pull up a talk from somebody. There's maybe a financial investor that's, you know, gotten some press. Mm-hmm. So I'll listen to YouTube videos or interviews, read books, talk to other professionals. Frankly, I've learned a lot from talking to other professionals. Business owners, yes, but I'd say more like CFOs. Mm-hmm. Hey, tell me about your investment strategies. How, you know, you said something the other day, and I just want to understand, like, how's that part of your investment strategy? And so you just you got to seek it out and talk to folks. When you ask people, hey, can you teach me, or help me explain, or can you explain this to me? Of course, people love to talk about their financial wisdom. They're happy to share with you, whatever they know.
So there's a lot of great resources out there. There's a lot of things that you can watch, read, everything like that. You really, I think, in that last question highlighted talking to other people a lot. You feel like that helps you be confident with money in your life, or how do you feel confident when it comes to your finances?
Yeah, talking to other people, but yes, today I feel very confident, and so I think that well, here I'll tell you another quick story, and again, this was more so seek out advice. Mm-hmm. Always seek out advice, regardless of if you think you're a genius or not. And I'm no genius, but unless it comes to frying eggs, my daughter says she's spoiled. She can't fry an egg. <It's 'cause laughs> I can. So I says, well, just the 10,000 hours of frying eggs. But anyway, seeking out advice. So here, when my wife and I, we were living in Louisville, Kentucky, and we moved back up to the Chicagoland area. And this was the pre-prime mortgage. And we bought a condo 2 blocks from Wrigley Field. I mean, it was to us at that point, it was like, oh my gosh. You know, I think back now, it's still a lot of money, but to us, and where we were with the kids, little kids, and we're moving into this condo. And the realtors, you know, I said to the realtor, the guy that sold us who was helping us to buy it, I said, hey, I want a 30-year fixed mortgage. Oh no, Tom, you don't want a 30-year fix. You want a 15-year with an arm. Mm. You're not going to live here. And, you know, just you buy this and da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. I want a 30-year fixed loan. No, Tom, you don't, but please, nobody gets a 30-year fixed loan anymore. That's you do this. This is how we do this. This is this. And you pay interest only. And mm-hmm. Of course, I'm thinking, as soon as I heard you pay interest only for 5 years, and I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, why would I do that? That's like
you're donating
that's
money like to the bank.
Stupidest thing that anybody could do. This guy tried to convince me to get this 15 year with some kind of this an arm, that an investment in interest, all that craziness. Give me a 30-year fixed loan. Hey, Skylar, guess what happens? The subprime mortgage hits, the Great Recession. I never missed a payment. No, I never missed a payment. I've never missed a mortgage payment. I can't remember if I've ever been late on a mortgage payment. That's another thing that my folks taught me. Like, mm-hmm. like interest is that's you're like, don't pay interest. Just, yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. You buy a car, you buy a house, you're going to pay interest. But look, you make, what's the rule of thumb? You make 2 extra house payments a year. And you're going to cut your interest in half?
Yeah, it's crazy like that. Like once you start, well, a little bit of extra goes a long way with houses.
Oh, so hey, look, Skylar. So I learned, do I pay my mortgage? No, I pay my mortgage, but then I pay another $1,200 or $2,000 or whatever it is towards principal. And I'm just like reducing the interest on that. So small ideas like that. But hey, the point is that story that I was telling is that I was confident enough in myself to mm-hmm. tell this broker, I mean, this guy was pounding on me hard to get this kind. No, no. So that, you know, at one point I reached out to my dad. I said, Dad, this guy's trying to end that. And my dad said, don't do it. Don't do it. You're thinking right. Dot, dot, dot. I didn't know you. Otherwise I would have asked you for advice.
No, I might not have been born yet. I don't know yet. I don't know where I was, but that's great. Yeah, I like that story.
So you build confidence by, you know, building a network, by reading, by experience, by trusting your intuition. This smells funny. This doesn't seem right. Not getting pressured into some kind of a financial decision. Whether that's a timeshare or whether that's, you know, a gym membership, that sign on a dotted line and I'm going to be paying you gym membership, you know, 5 years after I'm dead, you know, it's read the fine print, it's just, you build confidence with a lot of those.
Yeah. I like what you said about if you're feeling pressure, maybe that's a chance to take a step back and realize that something might not be quite right. Like, why are they, he might've wanted you to take that 15 year because he had a bigger commission on it or something like that. Cause the bank was going to make a ton of money on that interest. And, and that's something you want to avoid, is just pay as little interest in your life as possible. And you'll probably do okay. That's a good thing to take away there, but let's move into your business. You mentioned you started your business a while ago. How do personal finances come into play when you're starting that business? You said you're talking to CFOs, you're talking to business owners, so you had to learn it.
So in terms of business, you have to leverage the game up in terms of your financial management and financial understanding. So for me personally, you know, I know these folks where they're not gonna pay an accountant a couple thousand dollars a year to do their taxes or manage their books on a quarterly basis. So I've always had an accountant for my business and an accountant that I could go to with questions and ask questions and things like that. You start a business, it's the first couple of years, it's skinny. I think about the Hewlett Packard guys, starting HP in their garage, or all those great stories like that. But the number one reason, Skylar, on why businesses fail is that they're undercapitalized. So with business, you want to start a business, the rule of thumb is, hey, like, you think you're going to need $500,000, you're really going to need $1 million. And you think you're going to break even in a year, you'll be breaking even in 2 years. It's like you double those two things. But really where the financial management comes in is that you just don't know. Even your best cash flow estimates on business and starting a business, you just don't know. Things come up that you have to invest in or that you have to do. And then you really, you know, for my experience, and I think the experience of a lot of entrepreneurs, is that like you skinny it down for the first few years. I mean, there were times where, you know, I said to my wife, I came home, I said, honey, like, for the next 6 months, we're not going to be bringing a paycheck home. It's, the employees are going to get paid, but if we want to keep this business, we're either going through a terrible downturn or something's happening, right? Mm-hmm. But I said, hey, like, I'm doing the cash flow on this, with the business, it's important to understand all those dynamics and cash flow and how much money you need and then your own personal. And that's another mistake that I see businesses make or business owners make, is that they buy a boat and they put it through the business. They buy a second home and they put it through the business. They put their kids on the payroll but the kids are not working in the business. And, you know, there's different rules of there's different advice on all that stuff. But I've always kept it very clean. I've always kept the business clean from the personal. And I sleep well at night. And
makes it easier for you.
I'm going to pay taxes in the end, right? I'm going to pay taxes.
Well, I heard taxes the other day called the success charge. Like if you're paying taxes, it means you're making money. So don't be afraid of taxes, but also learn how to minimize them and stuff. But I liked my big takeaway from what you just said there is don't realize your estimates will be wrong. And I think be okay with that because you're going to need more time than you thought. You're going to need more money than you thought is what I just took away from what you said. And I think that's okay. And once you realize that, I think you'll be in a better position as you're going.
You plan for it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. How do you, so you're starting your business, right? Or maybe you're in those areas where it's a little tight and everyone says save for retirement, like these long-term goals. How do you balance that? Like, do you just cut off long-term savings and focus on the business or how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. First few years investing and all that other stuff. I mean, like the 401ks and maxing the low hanging fruit, max that stuff out. And then, I mean, if you can, eke out 10% and put it in a mutual fund and just be, and here's the discipline is Skylar, discipline is freedom.
Yeah.
People think that, oh my gosh, I can't use this money. Oh my gosh, I take 10% off. Discipline is freedom. So if you're just disciplined about taking 10% of whatever you're making, 5%, 3%, whatever, pick a number, pick a percentage, do your cash flow, and put that into a mutual fund every month. This month I make 10 grand. Next month I make 110 grand. You take that percentage and you put it into a mutual fund and just be disciplined about that. Hey, it's part of my budget. I'm not going to touch it. It becomes part of your long-term investment. And hey, so you hit recessions. Sometimes you have to back off from that, for a number of months because you're like, really, there were years where, I lost half my revenue. It was a huge hit. And when you experience, and every business is going to experience recessions, but when you experience those recessions, then you put a recession plan in place. So what does that mean? Well, hey, look, we got to cut this out, cut that out. Yet, no, we're not going to buy a new car next year. We're going to wait 2 years down the road. And then you look at, well, maybe I can't invest in the mutual fund for the next year, but then you put a date on a calendar.
Yeah,
and
where do we start?
I'm gonna start doing this again. So it's very challenging to keep with separation, right? But between your personal and the business checking account and your personal checking account, not advisable from my perspective to be thinking that that's all. Oh well, I got $50,000 in my business checking account. I can go take 10 grand out and do this.
You gotta keep it separated. Yeah, I've heard that. I hear that a lot, and I think it's super important. You gotta keep that separation, or else suddenly your personal life is funding your business, and then both ends are broke. Or your business is funding your personal life, and then there's just a mess with taxes and whatnot and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Not planning for taxes.
Yeah.
Not planning for those things that you just don't know about I never thought that about disability insurance. Yeah. Holy cow, I'm paying X for disability. I'm a consultant, so I have E&O insurance. It's just wow, E&O insurance is expensive. So you have to plan for that.
Awesome.
You have to plan for that stuff.
So I'm hearing planning, talking to professionals, talking to other people, asking questions is all important. And I think this question probably has been answered throughout the interview, but do you feel it's important to talk about money or not? And why?
Oh yeah. It's absolutely important to talk about money, educating, talking about it, educating, challenging people's assumptions about money assumptions about business, assumptions about generational wealth, assumptions about poverty and getting out of poverty, or getting moving from lower middle class to middle class to middle class. Mm-hmm. Families can do that, but they got to see things differently. And unless we talk about this stuff and talk about these concepts and educate people about these concepts. I had lunch yesterday with a good friend of mine who puts on these financial classes for kids, in mm-hmm. South Chicago, teaching them about the rudimentaries of money and investing and whatnot. I mean, what a great thing to do.
Yeah. Get young people started early. That sounds fantastic. I like what you said. Make sure we're talking about it, so we're all getting more educated, we're challenging and teaching each other. Let's jump to our last question here towards the end. Throughout your whole life, I'm sure you've learned a lot of good things about money, learned some bad things. What's something you know now that you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Yeah, sure. Like the with money, like way back when, I thought about starting a business or starting a practice. Skylar, that was so, that was not the next hill. Mm-hmm. That was like the mountain the 10 hills, to the mountain.
Yeah.
So one thing is that it's a lot less challenging to start a business and to grow a business. And I mean, it's challenging. You learn a lot along the way, but just getting started. And there's a gazillion stories out there. They started the business with $25,000. There's franchises out there that will pay you to take one of their franchises and run it. That's one thing I wish that mountain is not that far out there. Mm. That it's actually a lot closer, and it's just my thinking about that mountain. So that was one thing, and then the other thing is just these career options. I was at a family function a couple of weeks ago, and my brother-in-law said, "Yeah, my brother was a teacher, and his wife was a teacher." And they both retired at the age of 50. they're getting 80% of their income, and they're getting Social Security, and they're traveling around the world mm-hmm. and living a great life. And then I know a lot of people that went into the military, and then they did the what is it that after you come out of the military. You you go once a month for a weekend at the guard or something like that.
I'm not sure.
I've got friends that Skylar, I mean, really, really accomplished, successful people, and again, it doesn't happen overnight. But they have a pension or they have something coming from because they were of military service. Mm-hmm. Their duty and then that got them into college. They got college on and on and on. So they're I wish I knew more of the career options that I could have taken.
Awesome. No, that's fantastic. I like that. Make sure it's easier to get started than you think is what I took from that, and then. There's a ton of options out there. So,
so many great options. Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic, Tom. Thanks for coming on. This has been great. This has been a wealth of knowledge you've imparted upon all of us. So thank you. Would you mention your business again, maybe where people can find it, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up here.
Yeah, right. Vysus Group. It's that's V like Victor, I-S-U-S group.com. And then I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn with things that we post and videos and awesome. Things like that. But the organizational development consulting growth strategy for privately held businesses.
Awesome. Fantastic, Tom. Thank you so much for joining. This has been a fun conversation.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you so much to Tom for coming on today's episode. Let's talk about how this will impact you just a little bit. How do you show how to handle money if you have kids? This is something that I don't really have a lot of experience with, so I'm really leaning on you as the listener to send me your information. What do you know? How do you handle money, and how do you show how to handle money if you have kids? Is it all about cash? Do you even use a digital bank account or anything like that? Is cash the way to go when it comes to teaching kids how to handle money? Another thing that I think could be impactful is talk to people who handle money professionally. If you're in a corporate environment, there's very likely an accounting department or a CFO that maybe you have access to that you could bounce some ideas off. Like Tom said, these people that handle it professionally love to share their wisdom and talk about the great strategies and tips that they know. And guess what? You don't have to use all of the information that you're bombarded with, which is a good thing. You can take it and summarize what is good and bounce ideas off of multiple people. And that's something I really recommend because you're going to want to get a broad wealth of knowledge from multiple people, have money talks with people, and this is a great opportunity to say, hey, I just learned this tip from someone else in my life and I was wondering what you thought about it. Do you think this is a good way to invest? What do you think about it? And then you have money talks around those topics. Another thing that I think can be really impactful for a lot of people is understanding that pressure is a red flag for any financial decision. Tom shared the story where he was being pressured by a mortgage broker or a lender or something like that to get a 15-year mortgage with an ARM because he wasn't really going to live there for that long. But he stuck to his guns and got the 30-year mortgage, and it worked out really well for him. And it's certainly okay to go with people's advice, but if you feel pressure, that's a huge red flag for financial decisions. If someone's really pushing you against what you request, consider why they're doing that. They may be doing it for a higher commission. They may be doing it in your best interest and you just need to get to the bottom of it. But that can be a great reason to talk to other people about their financial decisions and get their opinion on it. Because then you can say, hey, no, I've talked to a lot of people. I really still want to stick with what I decided before. But thank you for your input and feedback. I really did appreciate it. But let's continue down the road of the 30-year mortgage or whatever you wanted to consider. Another thing that I took away is that discipline is freedom. I really liked that statement because it truly is. If you're able to say, yeah, I'm sticking to my guns and I'm disciplined, I have my plan, which is an important piece to have. So make sure you go back and listen to the episode about the importance of a written plan. But having that plan allows you to stay disciplined to it. It allows you to stay on track with what you want to do and helps you avoid that pressure that so many people are trying to put on you in order to get to your wallet. But let's talk about the money talking points next. The first money talking point is who can you talk to that handles money professionally about what they do with their money personally? And this is one that I think can be really helpful because someone who handles their money professionally, I mean, I hope they have it in line in their personal life, but it could be a good way to say, hey, how do you handle your money? You kind of studied money for a living. You handle money for a living. What do you do in your personal finances that you think really helps you out? Maybe they're going to say, well, I'm an Excel whiz, so I keep a really great budget. I keep an extensive spreadsheet with all sorts of reports, and that just goes right over your head, then maybe don't take and apply that piece of advice. Talk to somebody else. That's what's so valuable about these money talking points, is you can talk to so many different people about them and get all sorts of different pieces of advice. The second money talking point is, how was money management shown to you as a kid? One of the stories I always like to share, and you've probably heard it before if you've listened to this podcast for a while, is one of the things that, for me, that was shown to me, is that my parents never really put a full tank of gas in the car. It was always a $20 bill or whatever cash they could find in the car. Here, take this inside and put it on our gas pump. And that's how I was shown money management, because it stuck in me very, very much that I always want to make sure I have enough money to fill up my car or make sure that I am able to get around to where I need to go. And that's something that stuck with me as a kid. So I encourage you to think back a long time ago, or not so long if you're still young, but think back to some way that money was shown to you as a kid, and think about how that applies to you now. Maybe you always heard people fighting about money, so that makes you very timid and passive about money because you don't want to cause a ruckus. Think about it. Think about how money management was shown to you as a kid, and then talk about it with somebody else, because that's going to be a really fun and eye-opening conversation. But let's turn to the Money Talk Mastery segment next. Welcome to Money Talk Mastery. Let's talk a little bit about starting your own business. I want to refer back to what Tom said, that the mountain isn't that far away. Yes, there's hills and things that you do need to get over and stuff that you do need to realize about starting your own business, but I liked what Tom said, that the mountain isn't that far away. He did say that you'll need more than you estimate, which is something that I've heard a lot, and I wanted to kind of talk about a book called Rework. It was one that I just finished. I wanted to talk about it a little bit here on the podcast. A couple of key takeaways that I took from it is start small. If you're thoughtful about what you want to do and just go ahead and get started, it's going to take less than you think. If you start small and just get going, You're going to be able to build on your successes, and you're not going to worry so much about getting this holistic, gigantic business plan around every little thing that you want to do. So make sure you start small, just get going. Also, consider how being invisible is a great thing. It's something that I've had to maybe wrestle with a little bit on this podcast is I don't have this massive 1 million downloads per episode podcast, but that's a good thing. It allows me to try new things like these different segments in the show. It allows me to try new things on social media, on my website, without impacting this massive audience. And that can be the same thing for you in your new business that you're trying to start. Embrace being invisible and embrace being obscure, because once you get to the point where you have an audience and you have people around you looking at you, it can be really intimidating to make any changes or try anything new because you don't want to stir the pot. But don't worry about a business plan so much. Now, what I'm not saying is that you don't need to plan. You absolutely need to plan, but you don't need this massive 80-page plan just to get started. Another thing that I liked from the book Rework is solve your own problem, because it's likely that others have it as well. If there's something you're struggling with, figure out the fix to it and then sell it to other people. And that's how you can get your business started simply and easy, because when something is passionate to you because it's a problem you have in your life, it's going to make it really easy for you to say, hey, will you buy my service? Because I know it can help, because it helped me in my own life. Again, another thing though about estimates. The book Rework also shared that your estimates are likely off by probably double, which is something that Tom echoed in today's interview. So if you're looking to start a business, you're going to need more money than you think, and you're going to need more time than you think, but also just get going. It's the easiest way to get started, and you're not going to actually figure out how much you need unless you're actually doing something. One last takeaway that I want to mention from the book is that tiny decisions means tiny mistakes. Make small little bitty decisions about how you're going to get going and how you're going to get started. That way, if something screws up, it's only a tiny decision. You make another tiny decision to go the other way, and these tiny little baby steps, one by one, is how you're going to get your business started. And then that mountain that isn't that far away is going to get a whole lot closer, a whole lot quicker. So honestly, just get started. And to mention The Rebel Entrepreneur, which is a podcast that I like listening to, he really talks a lot about by just start selling. Start selling your product as is, and then figure out what the product is going to be, which I think is such an interesting idea to sell first, because then you know if there's actually interest in the product you're developing. So, a couple things we can take away from here. The mountain isn't that far away. Start small, embrace invisibility. Don't worry so much about an extensive business plan. Solve your own problem. Realize your estimates are off and make tiny decisions and just get going. But that's going to wrap it up for the Money Talk Mastery for today's episode. And I want to talk a little bit about what others are saying on social media next. What are others saying? Well, we had a recent short go pretty big on social media. It was one with Bob Wheeler, where we talked about what should you do if you come into a large sum of money. And Bob shared that you should really just leave it in your bank account. You don't need to really worry about it. Let it sit there for 30 days because everything's going to be just fine. But what did others have to say about it? We got a good handful of comments on this short. And a couple other things that people all thought to do is to zip your lip and tell no one. Someone else said, my first, second, and third reaction would be tell absolutely no one. And I really appreciate this clip going big on social media. It was fun to see some engagement with the clip. It was fun to see some interaction and comments. What would you do? Send me an email or comment on social media on the Reel or the YouTube short, wherever you might find it. I would love to have an episode where we talk about what others would do if they come into a large sum of money. So what would you do? Is that something that makes you think? I shared on the episode with Bob Wheeler that does your mind go straight to security? Do you need to lock down in a basement and hide yourself? Does it go straight to spending all of it? Does it go straight to telling absolutely nobody and quitting your job right away? What would you do if you came into a large sum of money? But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In conclusion, make sure you're talking to others. It's really honestly the only way we're going to do better with money, because unfortunately, we're not taught super well how to handle money, so we got to teach each other by talking about it. And be confident in what you know. If you feel something's right and the way that you want to go with your money, stick to it. Understand that pressure is going to be what is going to try to get your money. It's going to be what tries to get you to change your decision. Talk to others, gain their wisdom. People love to share their own advice, and that's a great way to say, here, I'm going to collect everything that everybody that I know knows about budgeting, and then I'm going to make an informed decision about what I want to do with my budget. Also, your business idea is going to be easier and harder than you realize, which is really, I guess, not useful, but understand that there's certain pieces that are going to be easier and certain things that are going to be harder, but you don't know what'll be easier and what'll be harder until you just get started. So that's my ultimate recommendation. If you have a business idea sitting in your head, go try to sell it to somebody and just get started. But be sure to check out my website at skylarfleming.com and be sure to follow me on social media for updates as I'm going on as a guest on 4 upcoming podcasts. And I'm excited to share what I've learned from talking about money over the past couple years with other audiences and try to welcome them here to our community. It's going to be a great time. And if you enjoy hearing what I have to say here, you'll like what I have to say on other podcasts. So be sure you're on my website and social media so you don't miss those other opportunities to listen to me as a guest on other episodes. And be sure to share today's episode with a friend and have a money talk about something you took away from today's money talk. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.